Everyone, it is a special joy to be back with you. We praise the Lord for any opportunity we have to fellowship with you. Every time has been a blessing to us, whether it's to stand here where Pastor Mick stands and try to be an encouragement to God's people, or whether it's sitting back there on a pew and just drinking it in, whether it's preaching or teaching. It has been a blessing each time. We've been privileged to come and spend some time with you. And we praise the Lord for that. I can always count on getting a good feeding whenever I come. I can always count on being challenged to think more concretely about the things of God. And that's a tremendous blessing. And I praise the Lord for the preaching and teaching ministries of this New Testament church and how God is using many of you in this capacity. And how God is sustaining a genuine light to this community, the gospel light, shining out. What an incredible, incredible thing that is. So glad that you're a part of it. So glad that you're praying for that. So glad that you're endeavoring, giving your energy, your time, your resources to make that an even more robust reality. And so praise the Lord for the opportunity to be influenced by you, to be influenced by a church that loves the Lord in this way. And so praise the Lord for that. Certainly continue to pray for Pastor as he's away. It's a hard time, certainly in the life of the church there. You pray, and God will meet the needs and comfort hearts and provide strength and give direction for the family and for the church going forward. If you would tonight, take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter number 1, please. Romans chapter number 1. I've a thought that the Lord has just kind of given me, and I'd like to share at least a portion of it with you tonight, Lord willing. Romans chapter number 1, we'll begin reading. Yeah, that would help, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's a good thought. Okay, I think we should be live now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your patience, folk. Romans chapter number 1 is where we'll begin. We'll read several verses here. We'll also look at several other passages. I'd like to preach tonight on the subject, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Father, we thank you for the truth that the just shall live by faith. Help us, Lord, tonight to meditate upon this thought, to allow your Spirit to speak to us and apply it to each of our hearts. I pray, God, that as a result of hearing this message and allowing the Spirit of God to help us understand where it fits in our own individual lives and the life of this church collectively, I pray that we would draw closer to you and that we would know you more or better, and that we would have a lifestyle that is marked by incredible confidence in you, and a life that is filled with activity that is commensurate with trusting you. And so, God, I pray that you'll meet the needs, that you'll speak to the hearts of this dear New Testament church. And I pray that you'll use this not only tonight, but in the years to come as we walk with you by faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Faith is an incredible thought in the Bible. You find it literally all through the Word of God. The theme is pronounced. It is declared, is delineated, it is defined. It's an incredible concept that is certainly rooted in the Word of God. You find it appearing several times in the passage that we read in your hearing. Verse 17 says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The word appears three times in that verse, and it's an incredible concept. And we use the word often, sometimes referring to a kind of a natural faith. We have faith that our automobile will work, you know, to some degree. And boy, a part of me wants to say that's unless you drive a Ford, of course. But I'll not say that tonight. I'll just move right on. I'm picking at my wife. She drives a Ford. but we have faith that a chair will hold us up when we place ourselves on it. So we have a natural kind of faith. We're familiar with that. Sometimes we name our churches faith, Faith Baptist Church. And that's a good practice. It's a good thing. And again, perhaps in the naming of a church, that perhaps the founders of that church wanted it to be marked by their congregation to be marked by the exercise of trust in God. We named our daughter Faith, and many others have named their children Faith as well. And our daughter Crystal, her name is Crystal Faith McCray. I remember when Crystal was born, we told our pastor at the time that we had named her Crystal. And he says, well, Brother McCray, why didn't you give that girl a good Bible name? I mean, there's many good Bible names to give her. And we said, well, Pastor, we did. He says, well, how's Crystal a Bible name, Brother McCray? I said, well, this is her whole name, Crystal Faith McCray. He says, Faith, okay, that's a good name. I'll take that. And I said, now, her first name is Crystal. That's a good Bible name, too. You see, we spell it C-H-R-I-S-T-A-L. And when you say her name, it's Christ All Faith. It reminds us every time we call her name to trust God, to believe God. That's how she got here, trusting God. And so, again, it's a good Bible name. After we explained that to him, he seemed to be okay with that name. He accepted that, and so I'm glad that he was pleased with that. But sometimes we name our churches, we name our children Faith. And the secular world uses the word faith sometimes. The world outside of God's perspective, the world outside of these walls uses the word faith quite often. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to use it that way also. And so tonight, if you'll allow me to look at the Word of God, and let's draw some conclusions about this concept of faith from the Scriptures. And that's where God will give us His insight and the truths with regards to faith that we want to cherish. Now, the phrase appears here that I want to work from, the just shall live by faith. It appears three times in your New Testament. I'd like to look at all three of those occurrences tonight, beginning here. But before I begin to dig into that, let's just do a little bit of an exercise that'll help us look at this faith term and define it. You know, in debating, if you ever have done any debating, you know that one of the key things you want to do is define your terms, right? Define your terms. That's a good thing to do. And so I'll do that tonight, if you'll permit. And so faith, then, is one of the highest guidelines for Christian living. I think you would agree with that. If I were to say to you tonight that love is one of the highest guidelines for Christian living, you would say, yes, Brother McCray, I believe that. I can go right on over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. It tells me that I'm to live in charity towards my brother. It tells me to live in charity as I serve in my New Testament church. And so you would agree then that that is a high guideline for every Christian that God has prescribed for us all. Likewise, when it comes to faith, God has prescribed faith that it should mark the life of every believer and every congregation. We should trust the Lord. And you would say, yes, Brother McCray, I believe that, because I can go over to Hebrews chapter number 11, and I find that faith is delineated there, and faith is prescribed for all Christian living. So you would agree then that faith is one of the highest guidelines for Christian living and Christian experience. You also know that when we live by faith, we are indeed pleasing to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So when we do live by faith, we are indeed pleasing to the Lord. Amen? And we want to please Him. I'm just of the opinion that folk who have been saved by the grace of God, God became a man, died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. People who really believe that just kind of understand that we live for Him. Amen? We appreciate that kind of thinking. We want to be exhorted in that regard. And so we want to please the Lord, and we do so please Him when we live by faith, when we live with confidence in Him, trust in Him, trusting Him for whatever it would be that He would give us inclination to achieve for His honor and for His glory. And then when we live by faith, we also sustain a distinctively Christian profession or confession. You see, we claim to be in cahoots with God, amen? But we can't see Him. You can't touch Him. You can't handle Him. You can't put Him under a microscope and examine Him. You can't peer through the Hubble telescope and see Him. He's invisible to our eyes, amen? But yet we believe in Him, and we trust Him, and we interact with Him. And to sustain a legitimately and distinctively Christian testimony, you'll have to accept that, amen? That as we live by faith, we'll have to believe some things and achieve some things and do some things that the secular mindset or the reasoning mindset only will not accept, okay? And we're okay if we fall kind of in a light with them that they don't appreciate us, or they see us as just kind of being people who check their brains at the door when they enter the church, right? We're okay with that though, right? If they view us a little silly, if they view us a little weird, if they misunderstand us, we're okay with being categorized that way or labeled that way, because what we want is to please the Lord, and living by faith does indeed please Him. And so if we're going to sustain a distinctively Christian testimony and profession, then it is of necessity, beloved, that we be people who simply believe God even when our reasoning does not serve us. Amen. Amen. And amen. Then we also believe that when we live by faith, we can secure eternal rewards. Amen. You see, God is the one who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. That's Hebrews 11, verse number 6. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so we understand that we'll not receive all of our rewards here in this life. As a matter of fact, we don't want all of our rewards here in this life. We're laying up treasures in heaven, amen? If someone overlooks me and don't give me an attaboy or a pat on the back for serving the Lord down here, I'm okay with that, you see, because my master is there, and as long as I'm pleasing Him, and when I stand before Him, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm serving for. So I can go a long time on that kind of fuel, amen? Because I know that's coming, and the Lord is faithful, and the Lord is just, and the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is gracious, and so I can anticipate that, and so I can go a long ways, beloved, without an attaboy or a thank you, because I know that the Lord is my rewarder. And so we diligently serve by His grace, and we continue in faith. We're steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we just keep on going. And we just keep on going, and we just keep on going, and we just keep on going. Every now and then somebody will say, "Thank you," and that's good, but we're not living by that. We're living by faith, amen? And so we just keep on going for the glory of God. And so I believe then, as we discuss faith, and as I presented these concepts, you probably would agree, right? This means yes? Good, good. It's good to define terms as you do a debate, right? I mean, it's just good to be on the same sheet of music. I mean, a choir makes beautiful harmony when everybody's on the same sheet of music. I love hearing the orchestra play when everybody is on the same sheet of music. Yes, it's harmony. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And this is honoring to God. And so then, these are some concepts that are related to the idea of faith. But if you would allow me, I'd like to give you more. Amen. May I do that, please? I'm just in a giving mood. You know, God's generous, so you can't help but be generous if you hang around with God, right? I mean, Jesus is generous. The Spirit of God is generous. And if these are your fellowship companions, you're going to do what? Become what? generous. I got some more I want to give you then, amen? And when it comes to faith, it involves believing something that God actually said, something God promised, something God prescribed, something God commanded, something God gave as the antidote, correct? When we exercise faith, we are believing something that God actually said, amen? His statement is the basis or the foundation of our confidence. Amen. When someone says something, then we can believe the something or choose not to believe the something they said. Amen. But you can't believe them if they didn't say something. They have to say something first, right? And so I'm going to demonstrate this because this is a lofty concept. And since I'm such a scholarly kind of guy, I'm going to break this down with an illustration, right? Whoa. I couldn't pull that off, could I? So if I was to walk up to my dear brother and say, brother, I believe you. And you would be wondering about now, okay, what do you believe, Brother McCray? And you would be right to wonder that. Well, I could go on and say, I just believe you, brother. I just believe you. I believe you, brother. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Yes, I believe you, my brother. And you would be right to wonder, what do you believe, Brother McCray? He hasn't said anything. And your posit would be justified, amen? Because you can't believe someone until they say something. Well, God has spoken in His Word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, amen? So as we hear the Word proclaim, as we read the Word, as we see the Word of God proclaim, and as we adhere to the Word of God, as it's written, as it's preached, as it's taught, as it's declared, when it falls upon our consciousness and our awareness, we have an opportunity to believe something that God actually said, something that God prescribed. If it is not something God said, it is presumption, it is not faith. Amen. 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 Now, there are a lot of folk who want to name it and claim it, right? I mean, they just want to name it and then they want to claim it. They just want to spell it out very specifically for God and tell God what they want and then command that God deliver on it, right? But that's not faith, beloved. That's maybe wishing. It certainly is presumption. That's called wishing upon a star. You know, the Disney theme, when you wish upon a star. You know, that's what that's called. That's not faith at all. And sometimes we get faith confused with that. That's something else, a very secular idea. It's not Christian at all. To be Christian, it must be based on thus saith the Lord. You can believe God and stand upon His promises. You can take and use His prescriptions in life. You can stand firmly on His truth. When God has spoken, you can take a stand on it and know that He'll come through because He's the God that cannot lie. It's not that He won't lie or refuses to lie. There's some things God cannot do, and one of them is lie, beloved. And so if He stated it in His Word, then you can stand upon it. You can trust Him for it. You can believe God in that regard, and it's okay. That's safe, amen. It's safe to trust a God who cannot lie. It's safe to trust a God with impeccable character. And so that is what you and I are invited to exercise ourselves in. So faith is always based on something God actually said. And then faith involves acting on what God prescribed. Amen? It is a commitment to the command. It is a taking of the prescription that He prescribes. It demands, beloved, that level of not only understanding and grasping it intellectually, but it also means that we engage ourselves to execute on what God said. Amen? You see, faith without works is dead. Amen? That's what it is. A faith that is devoid of works, operations, and activities that are commensurate with faith is actually dead faith. You and I should have rather a dynamic faith, one that produces the kind of activities that say, I am absolutely confident in the way God said to live. Amen? And we step out in doing that, you see. It's one thing to say, I have faith. And another person can say, well, I have faith. And then I'll say like James, well, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen? Faith can be demonstrated. And watch this. We justify our claim of being a person of faith when we act on it. Amen? We justify ourselves before men when we act on our faith. Amen? You see, if we're indeed confident in God, then somebody ought to know it, amen? A wife ought to know it when she's being loved by her husband. A husband ought to know it when his wife is following his lead. Somebody ought to know it among the kids when the parents pour themselves into their lives. Somebody ought to know it at the church house when people pray and labor and give of themselves and their resources to see the church go forward doing the work of God. It's manifested, beloved. It's evident when we truly believe God, amen? No one has to scratch their head and go, I wonder if they believe God around there. You don't have to do that exercise, right? No, it's evident because people act on what they say they believe. You say, well, Brother McCray, I don't always act on what I believe. Then you don't believe it. That's true. You see, faith produces works. That's what your Bible says. Amen. And so we believe this, we walk in that. And so as I'm giving my term now, as I'm giving it some meat now, I'm filling this thing, this bone, this skeleton, with some meat. Everybody all right with this definition? Everybody all right with that? This means yes? Oh, good, 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 good. See, I thought we were on the same sheet of music. I'm not really surprised, to be honest with you, Now, let me just give you one more thing, please. One more thing. Faith also involves this daily interaction with God. You see, as a Christian lives by faith and trusts God and then acts on their confidence in God, something begins to transpire. Their decisions begin to reflect their trust in God, right? And so they make two decisions on today, and those two decisions were based on what God said as to how we're to live. And so for two decisions today, they live by faith, right? Now, the rest of the day wasn't so great, but for those two decisions, hey, it was by faith, right? But on tomorrow, we buck it up a little bit. We get in the Word. We feed the soul. We say, I'm going to trust God for five decisions today. And so we do. Now, the rest of the day didn't go that great, but for those five decisions, we trusted God and we lived by faith in that zone. You understanding me? Let's say next week we really spend some time in the Word, taking God to heart and taking Him seriously and with great sobriety. We consciously make 10 decisions first day of the week, second day of the week, third day of the week. As a matter of fact, we just chained together an entire week where we made 10 decisions based on something God prescribed as to how we're to live. That makes for a pretty good week. You string a couple of weeks like that together and you've got a pretty good month. You've got a whole month living by faith. You string together a couple of months that way and you've got a whole quarter of the year living by faith. You string a few quarters like that together, beloved, and before you know it, you've lived by faith all year. And that's where God wants us, beloved, where we have this confident interactivity with God, where we are in the Word. God speaks to our heart. He formulates in our mind concepts and initiatives. We move on those initiatives, and we begin to string them and chain them together one after another, day after day after day, and God begins to use Scripture to speak to our hearts in the process, in real time. The Spirit of God speaks to our hearts and reminds us of a truth or a concept or a principle or a prescription from God's Word, and we respond on the pivot, on the dime. We're on our way executing God's plan as He spoke to our heart. Beloved, that's a whole week. It becomes a whole month. It becomes a whole quarter. It becomes a whole year of living by faith. Amen? And that's where God wants us. That's where God wants us. Now, the just shall live by faith. Amen? In Romans chapter number 1, the just are the focused in the phrase. In Galatians chapter 3, shall live is the focus of the phrase. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, by faith is the focus of the phrase. And that's further endorsed by chapter number 11, which uses the reoccurring term by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith, and on and on and on it goes, okay? So if you'll permit me to break it down that way tonight, I'd like to do that. So in Romans chapter number 1, Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He also knows that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just is the focus here. Who are the just, Brother McCray? Those who have been justified by faith. Those who have been declared righteous by God, the great judge. Amen? As a consequence of trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God gave us credit for righteousness. Amen? You see, we don't work for righteousness. We don't even keep God's law to become righteous before God, that is. Listen to me carefully. Watch it now. And so as a result of it, beloved, the only way we can be made righteous in the eyes of God is if God gives us credit for righteousness because we believe Him. Amen. So what do we believe, Brother McCray? We believe the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world, literally lived a sinless life, literally went to the cross of Calvary and died there in my stead, in my place, for my sin. It was my fault, but He took my faults. It was my sin, but He took my sin upon Himself, and there He paid the price for sin. He died. He literally died. How do I know? Because He was buried, and then 3 days later, He arose again as the Scriptures predicted that He would. Amen? We believe the gospel, and as a result of it, the moment, the very instant we trusted Jesus Christ, God placed on our spiritual account credit for righteousness. Before God made that transaction, I was absolutely, completely, totally bankrupt before God when it came to righteousness, beloved. And so were you. We all were that way, right? But when we trusted Christ as Savior, watch it now, God imputed righteousness to our spiritual account. And as a result of it, we now have the very righteousness of God, which came to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it still. Even though I try to be a good Christian, I still don't deserve it. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen. And so, beloved, that is our conviction. That is our belief. But every now and then, a Christian will say, Brother McCray, I wonder if God accepts me. I'm not sure that God receives me. I'm not sure if I'm really saved. I'm not sure if God will accept me. I've done so much. I've been so awful. I have such a colorful past. I'm just not sure that God accepts me. And I'm concerned about it. I'm anxious about it. And you can see their soul is literally roiling. You can see the pain in their face. You can see that they're absolutely transparent and their soul aches. They want so much to know for sure that God indeed does accept them, even though they've done all these awful things. And you ask them a few questions. The questioning may go something like this: Dear brother or dear sister, did you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Did you trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? And usually they'll say something like this: Yes, Brother McCray, I did that. Did God forgive you of your sins then? Yes, I believe God forgave me of my sins. Well, then, did you trust Christ? Yes, I did trust Christ. Well, God accepts Christ. And they just kind of look at you, you know, waiting for you to say something else. And then you just kind of reiterate, no, God accepted Christ. Brother McCray, you understand. I get it that God accepted Christ, but I'm worried about me. I'm talking about me right now. God accepted Christ, but what about me? Does God accept me? I say, did you accept Jesus? They say, yeah. We already went through that, Brother McCray. What are you doing? But did God accept me? That's what I'm interested in. Did God accept Jesus? Yes. Then I'll say something like, well, there you go. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, amen? Amen. That new creature has credit for the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, amen? And beloved, because you and I have accepted Christ, God accepts us. How do we know God accepts Jesus, Brother McCray? Well, God raised Him from the dead. That's a pretty good indication. Not only that, but when He arose from the dead, watch it to me, watch it, beloved. He literally ascended and went back to heaven to stay permanently. Watch it now. 40 days after His resurrection, and as a result of it, He was seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Sounds to me like God accepted Him. Amen. Amen. And there He ever liveth, making intercession for you and me as our great high priest. So if God accepted Jesus and you're in Jesus, then God accepts you, amen? It's not based on your and my performance that God accepts us. It's always based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And God accepts us because we accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He gave as a gift. Amen. So the just shall live by faith. And we're looking at the just, amen? The justified ones. Those who have been declared righteous by God. Amen. And if God has justified you and Christ has died for you, then there's no one that can condemn you, Romans chapter number 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of you and I who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who walk not after the Spirit, but after the who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we find then that we live by faith, and this is foundational. This is how we entered into this faith relationship. This is where the faith walk began for us. It's foundational for you and me. Who must live by faith? The just must live by faith. Very quickly, we go to Galatians now, chapter number 3. And there are a few verses from there I'd like to read you, if you'll permit me to. Galatians chapter number 3, and Paul addresses the Galatians in this regard. Notice what he says in verse number 11. He says this, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." You see the phrase occurring again here, the just shall live by faith in verse number 11. And I read some of the context of this on purpose. Very intentionally, I want you to see the opposite of living by faith is living by the law. Do you see that in verse 11? You see that? The law is not of faith. It's of a different nature. And when it comes to law, the man that doeth them shall live in them. You can only live by the law and have life by the law if you do it all. You must perform it all. You cannot break the consistent performance. That's what the law demands. And to fail in any regard means you fail in all of it. Amen? Just one failure. And so we understand, beloved, that's an impossibility, right? And Christ hath redeemed us then from that curse. And as a result of it, you and I, beloved, are now justified ones. But I want you to see something that happens here in verse number 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let's take some time here. We've seen the just, that's who, shall live. This tells us something very specific. Watch it now. We are seeing here a mandate. God says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You see, He's requiring something. He's stipulating something. There's a mandate given to us. And so living by faith is mandatory. That's the idea here. First, we thought it was foundational. Here we see that it's mandatory. God is saying the just ones, those who are just, they shall live by faith. Okay? Now, let's deal with the book of Galatians a little bit and just remind you of some of its content. Can I do that for real quick? Everybody all right with that? This means yes? Okay, everybody okay with that? Good. In Galatians, Paul is tackling a specific problem. That specific problem is that they began in the Spirit when it came to salvation. They began in the Spirit, but somehow or another, they made this incredible leap and began to believe that they could be perfected or matured by adhering to the law. Is that a problem for you? It ought to be a problem for us all, amen? If you began in the Spirit, then you grow, you continue, and you mature in the Spirit. Right. Amen? That's how God plans for us to mature, how we're to grow and how we're to live as believers is in the Spirit. Now watch it now. I want you to go to the top of chapter number 3, verse number 1. And I want you to see the problem as Paul spells it out here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you, that only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And on and on and on he goes here. And finally we get to that famous phrase, the just shall live by faith. And so here was what was happening. In Galatia, among the Galatian churches, there were those teaching that it was good to believe in Jesus, but you need to add something to Jesus. And specifically in this case, you were to add a ritual. You were to add a rite. You were to add a ceremony, specifically the ceremony of circumcision. So believing in Jesus plus the practice of adherence to circumcision meant that you are actually truly saved, and it meant that you can now grow and be truly spiritual. That's kind of how their formula went. Jesus plus a work or a ceremony or a ritual or a rule equals salvation. Jesus plus adherence to a ritual or a rule or a ceremony, some kind of rite, equals becoming spiritual. That was their formula. And Paul called it foolish. He called them foolish, but he was referring to the practice. It's foolish. If you begin in the Spirit, you must continue in the Spirit. You see, if you walk in the Spirit, then you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He tells us in chapter number 5 of Galatians, right? Amen? We do know that we war against the flesh. We still have a fallen nature, right? Yeah, we all believe that. We don't like admitting it. It's painful. But we're in that battle. It's a warfare, beloved. Working and fighting against that old fallen carnal nature, which wants to dominate us. So to overcome that, we give in to the Spirit. And we capitulate to His guidance and leadership. And we receive His power into our lives, which gives us the ability to overcome the desires and yearnings and cravings of the fallen carnal nature. Amen. As a result, we're victorious. Yay! Amen! Sin may come. Sin may make its appeal. We say, no, thank you very much. I'm going on in the Spirit. Amen? Amen? See, that's the teaching of Galatians here. And the specific problem Paul is addressing here. It's interesting, isn't it? The thing that fascinates me is that the problem that I had in Galatia, in the churches of Galatia, is still a problem today. It still is. Christians, they get born again, they come into this thing. We all did it. We came into this thing not having any control or any power or any influence, just acknowledging that we're sinners, guilty before God, and God in grace and mercy saved us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're in a whole new reality because of it. Yay! Amen! I remember the day I got saved. You remember yours, right? That was a good day! Amen! I like to tell you about it sometimes. I'm not going to take time tonight. But somehow along the way, as we try to grow in the Lord, we begin to think, okay, there are do's and then there are don'ts. And if I adhere to the do's and don't adhere to the don'ts, then that will make me spiritual. And this is where I lose most Baptists, when you say something like that. Wait a minute, Brother McCray, we're supposed to not adhere to the don'ts. And we are supposed to adhere to the do's. But we do it from the posture of our old fallen nature. You see, we just commit ourselves, and we just redouble up in committing ourselves, and then we redouble up in committing ourselves, and we try harder, and we try harder, and we try harder, and we try harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. What about trust? Amen! The just shall live by faith. What about trust? When you and I trust the Spirit of God for power and for grace to influence our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and to bathe us in Holy Ghost power, beloved, it transforms the life from the inside out. We not only want to do right, but we have the resources given of heaven itself to actually do right. Amen. Amen. I don't mean like magic foo-foo dust. Now, you do have to make commitments. You do have to make decisions. I'm not saying that you don't. But the power doesn't come from your trying harder. The power comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. So what many Christians do, instead of living by the power of the Spirit, they just make big lists. You know, Christian lists. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. That's a little bit of a dance. Do this, don't do that, do this. No, never mind. And their whole Christian life is them being eventually weighed down with lists of do's and don'ts. And there's no joy, there's no power, there's no freeing from that agonizing battle because of the power of the Spirit of God working in the life. It's just drudgery. It's just a grind. And it's draining. Because there's no promise that that will be successful. And so what we do when we feel like that, we really get deep into it, you get into some churches, brother, and they compare it. I mean, they go like this. They do this. I'm more spiritual than you are. And I'm more spiritual than you are. I know you fast twice in the week, and you give tithes of all you possess, but I steal from others to give tithes. And so what we do, we engage in this effort to one-up each other, to see who's more spiritual than the other. Well, I prayed for 10 minutes yesterday. I sure did, brother. You should have seen me on my knees down there crying out to God. It was a holy moment, brother. 10 whole minutes. Next brother comes along and pops his bubble, you know. Well, I had 15 minutes in just this morning, brother. So there. And when he's feeling nice and smug, the next guy comes along and he says, you know, I had a whole 20 minutes of prayer last night while I was fasting, brothers. Fasting is the way to go. And we just kind of compare ourselves among ourselves to make ourselves feel more spiritual. But it really is all being actuated in the energy of the flesh. How do you know? Because the pride evidences itself sooner or later.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know it's not of the Spirit of God. You see. So, Brother McCray, how does this work then? It works like this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God prescribes for believers to be under the power and control of the Spirit of God. That's what God prescribes for believers. That's to be an everyday occurrence for all of us. And then as we are filled, we walk in the Spirit, and as a result of it, we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Some of those desires will come, but we don't execute them. We don't fulfill them. We don't act on them. The devil may make the appeal. He may hang the carrot, and we can actually say, no, God's got all of this, dude, and there's nothing in that that God prescribes. So,
Amen.
Do you see it? The problem with us as Baptists is this, and I'm a Baptist now. I was born a Baptist. If you know your Bibles, that's not true. You know? Been in Baptist churches all my life, is what I'm saying.
Amen.
Now watch this. Not all of them were good, though, brother. I need to clarify that. Here's what I'm saying. When you and I trust the Spirit of God for the power to live as God prescribes, God delights to empower His people for Christian living. Now, that's a biblical teaching. But as Baptists, we don't want to be misunderstood, and we don't want to be confused with that other crowd. You know the other crowd? The ones who got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Holy Ghost? You know, they speak at you that way, and sometimes they get real big eyes when they say it. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Better yet, he's got me, you know.
Amen.
And so we won't want to be confused or misunderstood or mislabeled. So we shy away from teaching on the Spirit of God and the biblical teaching of it. And then we're trying to live godly without God producing godliness in us. And we're frustrated. It doesn't work, does it? It only yields more frustration. You can only become spiritual by the Spirit. And so we yield. We yield. We give way to God to lead, to speak to our hearts. We follow. He empowers. If God can supervise you, He can empower you. But God will not empower whom He does not supervise.
Amen.
And every day we invite Him at the top of the day to empower us afresh so that we walk in the Spirit through the course of the day executing God's will for our lives. It's not just for preaching sermons. It's not just for missionaries going to the field. It's not just for evangelism, though all those things are applicable. It's for everyday living. That's why God placed God inside of us so that we can live godly. That's how it works. Paul was trying to explain that to the Galatians. I hope they got it, amen? Better yet, I hope we get it. I really do. Hope we get it. Now, the last place I need to look, and I'll only take 2-3 minutes to do this one. It's in Hebrews chapter number 10. The just, that tells us something about who must live by faith, shall live. That tells us why we live by faith, because God mandated it. God, it's mandatory. God prescribed it. And then the just shall live by faith, by faith, by faith. Let's look at that phrase in Hebrews chapter number 10. This is the entryway into chapter number 11. Let me read just a few verses here real quick. Look at verse number 35 real quick. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Look at verse 3. Through faith we understand. Look at verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God. Look at verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Look at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. You get the picture that the emphasis now moves to faith. There were those in the Hebrew churches. There were Jews in these churches who had trusted Jesus Christ, but they were beginning to feel the pressures and repercussions of having trusted Christ. They were being persecuted to some degree by their own fellow countrymen, and Christianity had suddenly become very uncomfortable and very costly to them. Some were literally tempted to draw back, to quit on God, to stop walking with God, to stop living overtly or obviously Christian. Some were even tempted to go back to the temple system and the offerings and the sacrifices of all of that and the priesthood. And the writer of Hebrews tells them that you have a better priesthood in Jesus Christ. You have a better sacrifice in Jesus Christ. You have a better temple in Jesus Christ. You have better in Jesus Christ. There's no need to draw back or pull back or quit on God. Go on. And the encouragements to go on is given from Hebrews chapter number 11. And he uses people like Noah and people like Enoch and people like Abraham to illustrate to us that though those individuals had incredible difficulties, incredible, inexplainable, and insurmountable challenges, humanly speaking, they still went on with God and saw God come through by faith. Amen? Do you see it? The lesson for us is the same. We don't quit because it's tough. Because it's difficult is not an excuse to give up. It's never a good time to stop trusting God. Amen.
Amen.
So, but it's tough, Brother McCray. I get it. It was tough for Abraham. I mean, can you imagine coming home and telling your wife, honey, we're leaving town? She says something like this, where are we going, AB baby? He says, well, we're going, we're leaving. But where are we going, AB baby? And he has to respond, I don't know. God will show us. Now, how many of you wives would be all right with that? Leaving your family, your friends, everybody you know, everything you know, you're leaving it all behind to go to a place and you don't even know where it is. AB baby, how do we know when we get there? God will show us, Sarai. God will show us. That's all he could say. And you know what they did? They packed up the wagon and headed to Beverly. Some of you recognize that. Hills, that is. They packed up the wagon and they left, heading only God knows where. And when they got there, God says, you're here. Walk east and west and north and south and land. It's all yours. It's all yours. Did God come through on his promise? Was it easy making that kind of decision? No, beloved. How did he overcome his fears and doubts and the questions that no doubt bombarded his mind? How did he overcome all of that, Brother McCray? By faith. How does she agree with her husband to get in on this thing and go with him? By faith. By faith. How did Noah get through the tough time he had? Can you imagine the invisible God speaking to you and say a flood's going to come and you really need a definition for flood, but you're too scared to ask for what? What's a flood, Lord? I don't know what that is. Rain? What? Lord, please help me out here. Just give me a timeout. Lord, you said it's going to rain. It's going to flood. What is that stuff? What is that? And then to come back home and tell your family, well, a flood's coming. It's going to inundate the whole earth. It's going to be a deluge. Yeah, that's it. And we need to build a boat. Yep. Can you imagine that? Building a boat out in the middle of the wilderness? Can you imagine going into town as the boys, you know, Japheth and Ham, Shem, going into town defending their dad's honor? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the ridicule they must have got? You probably, I don't know for sure, but probably nobody ridiculed them too loud. You know, if you've been chopping down trees for 50 years, you're a pretty good-sized boy by now. Them boys went into town, it was like, I mean, 50 years, they're out there hacking down trees. 60 years later, they're still hacking down trees, building a boat. 100 years later, they're still hacking down trees and building a boat. You get pretty bulky by, you know, just surmising. I don't know. Anyway, how'd they get through all that, Brother McCray? When God made that dooming and damning declaration of a flood coming, there were no signs in the sky that could encourage Noah. Noah just decided to believe the divine weather forecast and start building the boat. Amen. By faith. Just building it by faith. Have you ever read the instructions God gave Noah for the building of the boat? You ever read them? Yeah. It's almost a good paragraph. It's just not much instruction there. It's just not much at all. I mean, if you gave us that kind of instruction today and say, build a boat with it, we would go with this. There's got to be more to it than this. You understand? No, were you qualified to build a boat? Never done that before, Brother McCray. Evidently, God saw enough in his character to give him the task. But he got done. How did he get done, Brother McCray? He just simply believed God with his entire house. We need men to lead the household, amen? We need men to lead as champions of faith. I want to be an influence like that in my family.
to be the kind of man who just tenaciously believe God, no matter how stupid it feels, or how ridiculous it sounds, or how unable I am to explain it at the moment. I just want to be the kind of man who just solidly believes God, doggedly believe God. Amen. And watch him come through. And I want my family to see it as it happens. And I want their faith to grow. Because God is to be experienced. You get it? How do we do that, Brother McCray? By faith. Quitting is never the answer. We're not of those who draw back unto perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We're the saved people. And saved people live by faith. That's just how we do it. No matter how tough it is, we just do it. What keeps you going, Brother McCray? We'll get God's approval on it. You see, every one of those saints in Hebrews 11 received a good report from God because they lived by faith. I want to see the report when I get to heaven. Amen? Amen. I want that kind of report. One that came from God. He looks at you with his eyes absolutely beaming. Say, you just believed me, didn't you? You just believed me. Every day. Since the day you consciously chose to live by faith, you just simply believed me. What a testimony that would be. What a testimony that would be. I want that testimony. That's what I want. I suspect you do too. But I better close, amen. It's time to go home. The just shall live. How, Brother McCray? By faith. Even during the tough times, yep. Is it ever a good time to quit living by faith? Nope. You just do it. You just trust God. Get yourself on a verse. Get yourself on a principle. Get yourself on a truth from God's word. And you hang on to it. And trust God to come through to show himself strong. He's looking for such opportunities. To and fro throughout the entire earth. Looking to show himself strong on behalf of somebody whose heart is perfect towards him. He's looking for somebody he can use that way. Is that you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time in your word, for this attentive group tonight, this open-hearted congregation. Help us tonight, Lord, to make that kind of decision, if we haven't made it before tonight, to make that choice to live by faith, to live daily with confidence in you, to live daily trusting something you said, acting on it. Help us, God, to do that today. And Father, for those who have been living by faith for years, encourage them. Remind them of the victories. Remind them of how you've come through. Bathe their soul in such reflections, and may it fuel them as they continue to go forward for your glory, blazing a trail of faith. God, help all of us to be people who are distinctively marked by this characteristic, faith. And may we be faithful as a result of it. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Dear brother, are you coming at this time? I failed to ask before. Or should I do an invitation? I didn't ask. Yes, sir. Okay, let's have a time of invitation, just a quick time. We'll not belabor it. If God's in it, the altar is open. There's no music. It's just us and God, right? And that's okay with us, right? And if you just want to meet with God, the altar is open. The opportunity is yours. We just want to give you that opportunity. That's all. Anyone, anywhere, you're welcome to come. Just spend some time with the Lord as we just quietly wait before him. Father, we thank you for this time again. Bless the thoughts and the truths to our hearts. Punctuate them in our soul by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Dear brother, if you wanted to give more words tonight,